Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Now, if you've been watching, Donald Trump is now again the president of the United States of America. He's now the 47th president, has been sworn in. If you've been watching, you may have seen those visuals. Dr. Kingsley Makubela is on the line with us, director at Risk Recon and former diplomat. A very good evening to you, and thank you so much for being with us, Dr. Makubela.
Good evening, Timalo, and thanks very much for the invitation.
What do you make of this moment? Is it a good moment? How should the world reflect on this inauguration?
You know, Pimelo, the irony of the inauguration and what Donald Trump chose, you know, he chose the main song just before his speech, the battle hymn of the Republic. Mm. If you listen to those lyrics, a wonderful hymn, but if you listen to those lyrics, these are marching soldiers and so on. That was the irony of picking up that. Mm. And again, he made in his speech, he made a commitment that the American victory over those global wars won't be judged by how many military things they win. I'm paraphrasing this. But it'll be judged by, it'll be judged by the peace America makes. So that was quite interesting. But again, he really spoke about expanding American territory. Now he's expanded this American territory. You know, we know that the Panama Canal, which made a very bold statement today. But that's the Greenland issue, too, that is outstanding. So are those issues really factored in this speech? Because he said he's going to come up with his executive orders. I think he's now seeing all the Bidens. After that, you would go to the White House, and I think you spend the rest of the day signing executive orders.
You know, you
the
make
other
that
issue.
Yes, so go ahead.
The other issue is taxing foreigners. He says the Americans will no longer be taxed to fund foreigners. So he's going to start taxing foreigners. And immediately my concern jumps into AGOA project, which is due for renewal. And I think it's going to face serious challenges because this is a very nationalistic president who's inward looking. Who really doesn't care about what happens to other countries, but what happens to Americans. He's made it quite clear in his speech.
You know, I just want to just touch a little bit on the what I find are contradictions in a way, maybe not too obvious, but I think are contradictions in a way in how what he says and for me, speaking in forked tongues. So, for instance, here is a man who says, you know, he wants to wrap up all the conflicts. He wants to make sure that Ukraine and Russia, he wraps that up. He wants to wrap up what's happening in the Middle East. And yet at the same time, threatening Canada, you know, threatening Panama, threatening Greenland. So in a way, one wonders, you know, he says he doesn't want conflict, he doesn't want wars, but here he is provoking others as well. Yes, I get the fact that he wants to extend its territory, but I'm conflicted in how to read him in that way.
We're all conflicted, you're not the only one, Pimelo, because, I mean, expanding territories, you can't expand territories.
Yes.
How do we expand territories? And of course, he's come up with few controversial statements during the campaign. But they, in a way, he blows hot and cold air, and I think this is intended for different audiences. I mean, the question that he wants to stop the war with Ukraine and Russia, I knew at the heart of that, and he's made it quite clear today, that they're going to start drilling oil and they're going to push prices down. You'll recall, Pimelo, a few years ago, I think me and you had this discussion at one stage. The Russians decided to flood the market with their oil. And it put the prices of oil so low.
Yep.
To the extent that the oil company in Texas had to close down because they do deep drilling of oil. And that's who shut down. And the Saudis begged the Russians to try to stabilize the market. So you can see you want to stop that war, but he has a very serious domestic economic agenda to ensure that he resuscitates American oil drilling companies. And I think he's made commitment to them. That came out quite clear in his statement. Pimelo, there's something that if you indulge me, I'd like to clarify. You know, there's been a lot of discussion in the media here at home about South Africa not being invited to the inauguration.
Yes.
And I think sometimes people are totally ignorant about how the American system works.
Mm-hmm.
The Americans don't invite heads of state to their inauguration. You may have seen even at this inauguration.
Mm-hmm.
There's no announcement of any head of state arriving.
Yes, yes.
They actually take this as a serious domestic thing.
Mm.
But Trump is a maverick. He has invited Meli. He has invited the prime minister of Italy.
Yes.
But this is outside the normal inauguration. It's what they call the ball.
Yeah.
Because for the last few days, they've had a lot of activities that are going on. So the fact that South Africa was not invited to this ball, and people are saying South Africa is not invited to the inauguration, it's a really ignorance of people of how the American system works. South Africa did not expect to be invited.
Yeah.
They don't invite anyone. They didn't even invite the Canadians to attend. Why would they invite South Africa? That's how the American system works.
Well, which is true, except that with this one, you make the point about the fact that the president of Italy was invited. It does, though, feel like a bit of a snub to Keir Starmer. But I think it was also expected, you know, to your point, it was also expected. So when he does behave in this way, where he does invite Capital, for instance, which he has invited, and the executive at Italy, it raises eyebrows, as well as in China, it raises eyebrows.
No, this was sideshows. You know, people are inviting other people to sideshows, not to the main event.
Yes, of course. Absolutely.
I mean,
yes,
and people are really comfortable to go to this sideshow, sideshows. But if you see who is invited to the sideshows, are people to the right.
Yes.
Meli
is
to the right.
Absolutely.
The Italians is to the right.
Yeah.
These are same ideologue.
Yeah.
To go and dance, meaning to be unfortunate to invite. That's why the Chinese president didn't even accept the invitation.
Yes.
Because he understood that he can't be invited to a side event to go and dance there.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah.
I want to.
So I thought I should clarify that,
which
you know,
is very
for
important,
our listeners and so on, because people seem to really peddle this misinformation. South Africa has been snubbed and so on. It's nothing like that.
Yeah. And I think you make the point that, you know, this is, we must also look at tradition. And understand what
Absolutely.
The tradition is, and so there's no need for us to go there. But when we look at South Africa and what has happened, for instance, over the past 24 hours in the Middle East, and I think the Minister of Foreign Affairs clarified that we're not going to be abandoning our case at the ICJ, should we worry about our standing with the US in this regard?
You know, Donald Trump has made it quite clear to the Israeli government that they need to stop this war.
Mm.
You will recall even during, sometimes during the course of his campaign, he even made reference that you can't justify killing children, and which angered the Israelis. And this is the nature of Donald Trump. He's a maverick.
Mm-hmm.
He really thinks on his feet. That's why he despises the traditional policy positions that countries follow to make certain announcements.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a view, and I really prescribe to this view, I must say, that the Israelis were quick to agree to this agreement because they feared Donald Trump would stop sending arms to Israel and it would be exposed.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes sense. He's made it quite clear in terms of Ukraine. Even his speech, if you listen to his speech, he spoke about all the disasters, the natural disasters that are happening in the United States. But he then says, The outgoing administration has spent money outside, spending money to protect borders outside and not borders here. That's a message to Ukraine to say, we're not going to send money to you.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to sign executive orders that are going to reverse some of the decisions that the Biden administration has made. There's also information circulating, Pimelo, orders that were signed by the outgoing administration in the last few days, that Biden did not even know what he was signing. So there's a view that they must set up an inquiry to check who actually was behind this. And Donald Trump has been, you know, punching this thing of the deep state.
Yep.
That there's an invincible hand somewhere that is directing this, that Biden hasn't been in charge. If they institute that investigation and made a determination that the president was unfit to make those decisions, it will create a serious problem for the decisions that Biden made, particularly towards the end of his term.
And maybe to that point, one has to wonder about, you know, the things that the Democrats may have done better in the last stretch, for instance, of their presidency. And I mean, when you look at some of the things that he's been accused of, clearly this is a president who was losing favor with a lot of people. Your sense of how Democrats should have really managed this latter part of his presidency?
There are two things, in my own view, that the Democrats fundamentally failed to understand. Mm. They failed to understand the level of anger towards wars, and particularly what was going on in the Middle East. Mm. So they lost it. And they never connected with their constituencies around these issues. Mm. They failed, secondly, to understand that Americans were angry about the cost of
living.
That is driven mainly by this conflict.
Yeah.
The high prices of gas.
Yeah.
And the high prices of oil because of this conflict,
yeah,
and the high prices of consumable goods that was really starting to eat into the pockets of a lot of Americans.
Mm.
So the Democrats failed to understand these issues, and Donald Trump could speak to these issues and make promise that he's going to stop the war. You heard during his administration, he says prices are going to go down.
Mm.
He's going to instruct his cabinet to put prices down. Those are issues that people wanted to hear. Of course, again, the question of illegal migration.
Mm.
Even though he exaggerated the illegal migration, you know, people eating dogs and so on, but he would, that message was resonating with ordinary people. People were tired of this uncontrolled migration into the United States, particularly at the time when the economy is doing well, when people are not well off. We're quick to blame foreigners. We do the same in this country. When we are, the economy is not doing well, we tend to think foreigners are coming in to take our jobs. It's the same in Donald Trump used, and the Democrats never understood this.
How should they have dealt with Biden? Because, you know, of course there's speculation about whether he's fit for purpose. How should they have dealt with him?
I tend to think they should invoke, the Democrats particularly, should have invoked relevant parts of the Constitution that allow the president, who is incapacitated mentally, to step down very, very early on, because they knew the man is incapable, he's been incapacitated. But they never acted on this. They kept on defending this thing. And once Biden started exposing this to the public, Trump really worked on this to say, you see, this is the Biden that I'm going to defeat. And very late in the campaign, they put pressure on Biden to step down without accepting the fact that he's mentally not fit to hold the office of the president. If he's mentally not fit to run for the presidency, why was he mentally fit to keep on running for the office of the president? And it reinforced this question of the deep state that is running the United States, that Donald Trump is so anti-establishment, and he keeps on telling people that they are this invincible hand that is running issues there is because of foreign interests and basically all the interests that are operating outside the government system. So those messages were resonating with people because people could relate to what they're seeing from Biden and what Donald Trump was saying.
What do you think will be positive that will come out of this presidency?
I think the positive thing, take for Africa, for instance, Pimelo. The positive thing that will come out of this thing, it would allow Africa to reset its relationship with the United States. Because you can see, it's not going to stick to all things of extraterritoriality of the United States. You are with us or you are with them. You would have, if listening to his speech, not even reference to such issues. So there's an opportunity to reset the relationship. However, Donald Trump is soon going to realize that this is not 4 years when he left, 4 years ago when he left office, that the world has changed. There's multipolarity, the new powers that are on the stage. The sooner he understands how to interact with these new powers, the better for him. If he can't relate to these powers, the Americans will be left behind. For instance, I mean, imposing sanctions on TikTok and the argument that they are raising, it infringes on national security. And yet you have all this other social networking group from the United States that are doing the same thing. Because the whole concept of digital economy, Pimelo, is that me and you, we can be on Facebook because we are allowed to give our details to Facebook, use it for advertisement and so on. And the Chinese are doing the same thing. They're not doing anything that others are not doing. So that's where the problem. But the Chinese control what they call the 17S. Now, the 17S are the 17 very strategic resources that no one can function. The military can't. No one else can function. And the Chinese are controlling 75% of that. But there's a discovery that in Greenland, there are more eggs that can be mined there to try to help. So he's going to realize he needs China. He needs to operate with China. He needs to cooperate with Russia. And he needs to cooperate with the rest of the world. And I think Donald Trump is too smart to realize that the United States can't go solo on some of these issues. That's why part of the executive authority, I won't be sleeping, just to check in the morning.
Yes.
If he signed what he said, for instance, that he would immediately lift sanctions on Russia.
Yeah.
So we would get a clear picture in the next few days about the executive authorities that he has signed.
Well, I mean, with TikTok, it was immediate, wasn't it? All he had to do was tweet,
it was
literally.
Immediate.
He had to just tweet to say, well, I'm in office now, or I will be within the next 24 hours. I love TikTok.
I'll sign executive authorities.
Exactly. Yeah. So we'll see. And he said, you know, by sunset, things would have changed. So like you, I'm going to be sitting up to see. Thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate you giving us your insights, Director at Risk Recon, and former diplomat Dr. Kingsley Makubela.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.